The best way to start your sports weekend. This is the WILS Weekend Kickoff with Dave Benton on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Ian Rhodes, my co-host and producer, along with me. Good Lord, it's been a long
my
day,
Eckersley. Scott Eckersley.
It's been a
it's
long
all right.
day. Good Lord, Ian Rhodes. Just talked to Ian Rhodes from WSMV in Nashville, and I'm already assuming he's my next producer, and
Am I out?
Possibly. Wow. I don't really know. You just get into those moods, and you get into that momentum, and it gets rolling. Think of the first name that comes to mind. Unbelievable. I'm definitely going to have my mic cut off very, very soon by Scott. Joined right now by Josh Helmholtz of the Wolverine, talking a little Michigan recruiting, possibly a little Michigan basketball. Josh, have I got your name correct?
Absolutely.
Oh, there we go. Cool. See, I got somebody's name correct on the show. Josh, let's talk about Michigan's recruiting a little bit. Rank, considering Michigan's situation with the coaching and stuff, how would you rank their class as a whole this year?
Yeah, I don't think anybody can argue with the job Brady Hoke did in the final 3 weeks that he had, and really was 2.5 weeks because he, by the time he got his staff in, his recruiting plan, they weren't on the road until the Monday after he was hired, so... Yeah, there's no doubt that the job he did in the final, 2 to 3 weeks, pulling in 10 of his own commitments, including 3 4-star prospects, was outstanding and really kicked off his tenure, I think, on a good note.
As we look at the guys that are coming in, are there any players that you feel or have been told could contribute right away, or are these mostly guys that are going to have to develop before we see them on the field?
Yeah, and obviously it's ranked as the number 21 class in the country, which, is not usual Michigan territory. So, as good of a job as Brady Hoke did, this is not a program-changing class, but there are a number of prospects in it who should expect to play early, in part because of need and in part because of talent. They brought in a tight end on signing day by the name of Chris Barnett. He had committed to Arkansas originally, flipped to Michigan on signing day, 6'6", 260 already. 4-star kid out of Texas, and he's probably going to have to see the field because of how much Al Borges likes to use tight ends in this offense, and they've only got 2 scholarship tight ends right now. So you'll probably see him. You'll also probably see Thomas Rawls, a big running back out of Flint Northern. He's just physically ready to play. They need a big back. I expect you to see some Thomas Rawls this year.
How about some guys you've seen film on that you think after a couple of years of development could be some studs for Michigan?
Well, most of these guys I see in person. I get out there and I make sure we hit the trail hard and get out and see a lot of these guys in person and on film. I like Brennan Beyer, the defensive end from down in Plymouth. I think he's an outstanding guy who could develop. And you remember what Craig Rowe was as a freshman. I don't know if he'll have that same type of freshman year, but long term, I think he's a guy that can definitely impact. And sticking in the state of Michigan, I like the cornerback out of Highland Park, Ramon Taylor. This kid is just a flat-out ball player. Not a big kid, but a great athlete, a guy who, is a real ball hawk back there at the cornerback position. I think they really picked up some outstanding in-state prospects this year.
You mentioned in-state, and I've been kind of curious since Hoke took over. Is his plan really to go back to the basics of recruiting in Ohio and Pennsylvania and Michigan and places like that, or is he going to keep it more national? Do you have any idea what his recruiting plans are for the future?
Yeah, and he's mentioned it multiple times, in our conversations and even in his opening press conference. He said the lifeblood of recruiting at Michigan has to be in the state of Michigan and has to be in the Midwest. That does not mean he's going to get away from recruiting nationally. When he was an assistant at Michigan, he was the West Coast guy. He was the guy that got them in, on a Matt Gutierrez, on a Leon Hall, guys like that who came out from California. They're not going to get away from national recruiting, but he's going to build his base in the state of Michigan and with Midwest prospects, and he's stated that multiple times. That's a priority for him.
Let's talk more broad scale here with the Big Ten and recruiting this year. And, if you look at the numbers, and I brought this up a couple segments ago, the Big Ten recruiting classes did not compare well to conferences like the SEC. Okay, when you're talking about a lot of these, Scouts Inc. and Rivals and ESPN had 9 SEC teams in the top 25, 2 or 3 from the Big Ten. are we looking too much into it if we see that, or is there a gap widening between conferences like the SEC and the Big Ten?
Yeah, well, this year there certainly was, and I think part of it was the Midwest was not very strong this year, and part of it was, they just flat out got out-recruited. Now, you know, Ohio State, I think, was the highest-ranked team, and then they came in at number 11, and that's just not normal Big Ten territory. Now, you come back in 2012, and Michigan is very deep. Ohio is loaded. Illinois is loaded. Indiana has one of its best years. So I expect a resurgence just because of that, just because the talent in their home bases is going to be stronger. But no doubt, I mean, you want to compete on a national level, you got to bring in the same type of talent and top-notch talent like everybody else is doing. In general, the 2011 classes across the Big Ten did not compare well with other conferences.
We talked to a guy from Nashville who's big on recruiting with Tennessee and Vanderbilt, and he was telling us that the perception down there of the Big Ten is just that it's not a very good conference anymore. Do you get that vibe when you talk to these high school players, or do you think there's still a lot of respect for the Big Ten?
You know, I mean, maybe as compared to 5-10 years ago, it's gone down a little bit, but I don't think it's certainly turned a corner where it's a continuing issue. No, I think the Big Ten can certainly rebound and do better. But when you're losing, you know, what was it, 5 bowl games on January 1, plays a role. That impacts kids' mindsets. So, you know, you've got to do better on the field, and certainly you've got to have more teams, contending for national championships, and not just Ohio State. I mean, Michigan's disappearance from the national scene has hurt the whole conference, and I don't think anybody across the conference is going to disagree with that. You need your Michigans, your Ohio States, your Penn States, and now your Nebraskas to be in the national picture, because that's going to help out the perception of the conference across the country.
Talking perception, how do you think it can help by splitting up into divisions? Do you think that will help the popularity of the Big Ten? Do you think it will help some of these teams like Michigan sort of grow and get better? Or do you like the idea of just a straight conference with 12 teams all playing each other? Which format do you like better?
Well, I think certainly having the Big Ten championship game at the end of the year helps, because for a long time, I mean, the Big Ten would end their season right around Thanksgiving, while other conferences were playing the following week and the week after, and the Big Ten just kind of disappears for 6 weeks before the bowls start up in, you know, end of December and early January. I think that helps more than anything. It's just having that Big Ten championship game, getting that on national television in early December. Splitting up into divisions, you know, I don't know that in and of itself helps or hurts or does whatever, but the Big Ten championship game is what is going to help increase the perception and the visibility of the Big Ten Conference nationally.
Josh Helmholtz from the Wolverine joining us. Josh, before we let you go, I want to talk a little basketball with Michigan. It seems like they're having sort of a resurgence here. I was curious, just from what you've seen, do you have a feeling they've got a shot at a champ at making it in the tournament, or do you think they're looking more like a 500 season, just real basic?
Yeah, I don't know that they have a shot at the tournament. I think if they're going to have a shot at the tournament, it's got to be by winning the Big Ten tournament. And you know, the way they've played against some of the top-notch teams, you know, beating Michigan State and Iowa here recently, you almost think that, you know, that could happen. And even though, you know, they've bowed down to, you know, Northwestern and a pretty poor Indiana team, you know, they've competed well with top-notch teams across the country. I mean, even going back to Syracuse and Kansas, but then they obviously lose games that you would expect them to win. It's an odd season. It's an odd team to watch. It's had some exciting moments, but to make the Big Ten tournament, they've either got to, you know, pretty much win out, get a couple more big wins under their belt, or win the Big Ten tournament. I think that last option is their most likely bet for making the dance.
All right, Josh Helmholtz, the Wolverine. Josh, you want to tell people how you can get a hold of the Wolverine?
Yeah, you hop right on the Wolverine.com is really the best way, and we pump out a lot of content out there. So the Wolverine.com, part of Rivals.com, that's the best way to get a hold of us.
We appreciate it, Josh. Good stuff, man. Good info.
Thanks. Take care.
Josh Helmholtz of the Wolverine. When we come back, we'll touch more on Super Bowl, go back to prop bets a little bit. This weekend kickoff, 1320 WILS.